From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, Big Blue Roundtable, more camp stuff. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, will soon to be Apple Podcasts, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher apps. Go to website, our website, BleedBlueShow.com. All the schedule, all the events, all the information, the hub for this platform, what we call the Bleed Blue Show. Get into more camp stuff and even more questions this week or around the week. Around the NFL question of the week as well. Right now, a lot of the teams around the league, from what I understand and what I see, are into their camp sessions, and some of them are concluding. And I remember even going to back, a couple of weeks ago, we asked the stakeholders which team they would like to see on this year's season of HBO's Hard Knocks. And it looks like it's going to be the Oakland Raiders. And I think some stakeholders got their wish when it came to that. So the Oakland Raiders are going to be on Hard Knocks. But we got our own team to discuss as well as you know, around the others. I like to get perspective of the other teams too, man. I would love to get people's thoughts on the other squads around the league. Talking our squad, talking all the other squads. Chris, man, what's going on? How you doing, sir?
You know what? I had a feeling that it would be them. I had a feeling that the Raiders were going to be the team. I just knew it. Going into Vegas next year and all of this kind of stuff, I just knew it would be them. I'm doing good, Steve. I'm doing good. Just got back, man. But, no, I knew it would be them. I feared it, but I knew it would be them. I was hoping it would be the Jets because that's some craziness over there. that would have been some good TV. But, hey, you know, it is what it is, man. Everything's copacetic, man. I think camp is over, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And then you got a couple of weeks, and people are going to go to their own individual trainers. They're going to go to their own, you know, their workout routines. Even some players probably would partner up with other players from other teams and do what they do. Certain wide receivers probably pair up with other legendary wide receivers or current wide receivers. You know how it is. Everybody's got their own thing going, which I don't have a problem with. So,
yeah, we have a really nice problem. We have a really, really nice problem in our camp, man. We got some really talented receivers this year. So it's going to be really interesting. So,
do you think they're going to make a difference, though? I mean, you said they're talented, but do you think they're going to? Let's have that question on the table. Let's put that question to the table.
Let's put that question on the table and bring it around, yeah. Because it's competitive, and that's what you want. That's what you want, and it's you hate to get rid of these dudes, man. But at least three that I see have to go. I mean, not that I see that, you know, when you look at in respect to the roster cuts, have to be out of here. So I don't know. Yeah, let's bring it around. Let's bring it around the 9-2-9.
I have 4-7-7-4. I actually have a question for the table as well when it comes to our team. About special teams, we'll get to that that question when we get to when we get the stakeholders on.
But I have a question.
And then also
for you,
around
sir.
That. Okay, what's the question
for you? St. Louis Blues.
Yes.
What is? I want to know what you think.
I think it's a great story. For a team that literally was in last place, not that it was a bad team, but they were in the bottom of the Central Division. That's a very good division, by the way, in hockey. If you are into the NHL, I'll put that division against any division in sports, not just the NHL, but sports, because you're talking Winnipeg, Nashville, Chicago's hit or miss. But Chicago still shows themselves because they're Stanley Cup, you know, winners. Dallas. Right. It is loaded. And for the fact that they were at the bottom of that division, which was a stacked division, can't put that past people. And once they had the head coach change, they got the goalie, who was a guy who's a 28 years old. Was in the he's pretty much a journeyman in the minors all his pretty much his career. That Riley, see, I think a lot of that Ryan O'Reilly trade from the Buffalo Sabres was a real sleeper trade. He was an excellent player for those Buffalo Sabres teams, and he was a difference maker, and that's why he was the MVP of the NHL Finals or the Stanley Cup Finals. I'm actually shocked, Chris, to an extent that Boston got destroyed the way they did. Boston's a hell of a team.
That was my question. That I mean, yes, exactly. I'm pretty sure that, you know what, I was almost sure that Boston would have pulled out a three-quarter world championship situation this year, man. I just knew. I didn't even look at the Blues. I just knew that after the Patriots and the Red Sox, that here come the Bruins. They're going to complete this thing, and it was going to look that great. But, man, I think my question is, and I think this is more of a sports question than a Stanley Cup question, is what do you think, and I'm asking you, what do you think, what gave them that second gear or third gear or what that extra fortitude to kick that ass and roll up like they did? What made them do that? Because that was a surprise
they
to me.
I'll put it like this. I'll put it from last night's game, and then I'll put it to a sports perspective, and then we'll get the stakeholders on.
Yeah.
Last night's game, Boston. Put it like this: the goalie for the goaltender for the Blues, Benetton, withheld a lot of that rush. That first 10 minutes of the first period, Boston put the pressure on. They just couldn't score. The goalie made a lot of great saves. I mean, breakdancing, 1980s, Kango, in the park saves, like just breakdancing saves. He saved everything. He kept them in it, and then Boston gave up careless turnovers at the blue line and in the neutral zone, and it turned into a couple of quick goals. That's unlike Boston, because Boston's a smart team. And Brad Marchand, one of the better players for the Bruins on a line change, was really lazy. Coming off the ice for a line change, and one of the Blues players got by because of that lazy line change. Little stupid mistakes like that killed Boston last night. I mean, I have no problem with it, Chris, because you know how we feel about Boston. I'm glad they lost. But this is probably more of a Knicks thing. See, I hate to break it like this because the Blues, this is the first championship ever in 50 years. When are the Knicks going to get the championship? You see the Eagles get the championship. You see the Cubs get the championship. You see the St. Louis Blues get the championship. Everybody's getting championships except for the Knicks. That's where I looked at it last night.
Their first Stanley Cup in 52-year history. 52 years. And more people watch this particular game, game seven of the Stanley Cup, than anybody else for the last 30 years, man. I mean, Stanley Cup, as far as Stanley Cups are concerned. I think that's very important. So you have to put it – to answer your question, what the heck would you think would have happened if the Knicks had actually made this year's finals? I'm just, putting it in perspective. Let's say they miraculously did it. I mean, there would be nothing else to talk about. And that's what's going to happen if we ever get it together, man. If we ever get it together. But this is a Giants show. I ain't going to belabor it too much. But, damn, that's an interesting question. One day we will find our way, man. We're only as good as the management, man, and ownership.
We're finding our way with a hit earlier this week with a certain player's injury, but we're not going to mention no names.
Please don't do that. No,
that's possible.
Okay.
All right, let's get everybody on lit, Chandler and the gang. Chris's question as far as Giants wide receivers, my question as far as the special teams, and of course, around the NFL stuff, we'll get to everything else. Definition of lit, Big Blue of Arizona. What's up, homie?
What's up? How's everybody doing? What's up, Chris?
What's up,
Chandler? Not much. Hey, Pat Shurmur speaks. I just wanted to let everybody know before we started the show, Pat Shurmur does have a voice. He made no sense, though, but he does speak.
Okay, then I'm going to leave that alone. Okay, all right.
Here's the ironic thing. Pat Shurmur doesn't speak, but the other coach for the other New York squad, he can't shut his mouth. we welcome Chandler to the platform for his head coach. Chandler, what's up, man?
Yes.
How you doing?
What's up, Chandler?
Hey, what's up, man? How y'all doing?
Oh, we're here, bro.
What's going on, man?
Not much.
Matter of fact, we'll put the same question at you. What you thought as far as the St. Louis Blues, and we'll go to Lit. I know we're talking football, but Chandler, your thoughts on the Blues?
It should give Ranger fans a lot of confidence because John Davidson's fingerprints are still all over that organization. And this is the culmination of something that he started how many years ago when he was running the Blues organization. He basically rebuilt that organization from the ground up, just like he did with Columbus. So I would say for Ranger fans, this is confirmation they got the right guy.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Cool, man. All right, let's go to Liz's question. Go ahead, Chris. You were going to say, and then we'll go ahead and get lit on.
Oh, no. Wow. See. No, I just don't. I'm messed up, Steve. You messed my mind up with the Knicks thing. I'm trying to transition mentally back to the Giants. But that's very interesting. That's very interesting what we do now. And that's all I have to say about that, because I don't want to make this into a Knicks show. We had one last night. I'm kind of messed up right now, man. Because I didn't think about that question until you just said it. You know, about what are we gonna do? And I went, oh God. You know, if you've been, and this doesn't really have to be the Knicks. It probably, hey, I'm pretty sure if there are some St. Louis Blues fans out there right now, a whole horde of them that are besides themselves in seventh heaven, because they could have never fathomed this was going to happen. Some of these guys have been fans for 50 something years, and it happened for them. It actually happened. It can happen for Toronto Raptor fans for the first time in 26 years tonight. So, but, and I'm sorry, I have to put it this way. There's something very special about being a New York sports fan. Okay. And when your team hasn't, particularly your mainstay basketball team, and I say mainstay because there's two professional teams in that city, your mainstay long-term basketball team hasn't won in, oh, God, don't let me get started, 46 years or something like that, it gets to you. You really take it personally. It's like a member of your family not delivering. It's like daddy walking out, never coming back. It's really, really personal, man. And you share this with, maybe 20 to 30 million of the siblings. And it really gets to you. And once you asked that question a second ago, it got to me. I said, damn. I didn't put it, you know, I didn't just oppose them against each other that way, but it hurts. You know, I hope we don't have to live through that very much longer. But this is a Giant show, and this team, this particular franchise, let's just say, and this is more relaxing, this team hasn't won a Super Bowl in 7 years. So I feel a lot better just staying in just staying in this particular blue lane tonight, man. Wow. Okay, enough of me. This is a sports stakeholder show. Our number is 929-177-4171. Azul, what's the question, sir? Let's go around again. Let's talk.
Okay, your question to Lit about the talent of the wide receivers for the Giants. Are they playmakers or something? Are they talented enough to get the job done?
Yeah, are they talented enough to stick?
Okay, and then Lit brought up Pat Sherman as far as what he said, so we'll get his opinion on that. And then I have a question, too, for Lit after we're done as far as the special teams with Corey Coleman, Jabril Preppers, their impact, punt returns, kick returns, stuff like that.
Yeah.
If he wants to answer that, how does he see that? Let three questions on the table. If you have a question, feel free, but go ahead and fire away, man.
So are we going to start with the wide receiver course? Is that how we're going to take this?
Yeah.
It's nothing that really kind of wows me. We have steady, above average talent with the possibility of having one potential breakout star if is close, it's the focal point is pretty much to a particular certain wide receiver. No name mentioned, we just kind of.
Wait, where are you at, man?
No work, man. I'm at the JOB.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, do this. Talk to me like as if you're whispering. Because there's a lot of noise behind me, bro. You're disappearing on me.
Hold on. I got you. Hold on.
Yeah.
Sorry. Disrespectful. My God. Hold on.
Okay. Yeah, but.
All right. Is that better now?
Okay.
I'm sure that's better.
That's
right.
Better. Much
so,
better. Much better.
Okay. As far as the wide receiver core, again, like I said, nothing wows me. There is potential to have possibly an A-tier guy, but that has to be pretty much be proven throughout the season. We don't have anybody that's going to draw a double, no one that's going to, you know, be an actual threat. I think on a go route,
right.
I think the Giants are pretty much going to have to earn the respect of the opposing defense with the departure of Beckham. We are no threat. As far as throughout the league, Chris, you're going to have to help me out. Where do we fall with what we have on paper right now? Where are we at? I think we're probably 15 to 20,
wow,
somewhere in there as far as where we are as a collective core. But, you know, those wide receivers are going to be basically
in the middle.
Man coverage from the opposing defense with no real threat. Again, they're going to have to earn the respect of a double. They're going to have to earn the respect in a lot of facets as a group because, you know,
mm-hmm,
it's like, do we really have anybody that is phenomenal, anybody that's going to be a playmaker, a breakaway, yards after catch? I don't know. That's all I can really say. We just don't know. There's a lot of unanswered questions.
Yeah.
The main thing is that concerns me is we're going to have to earn the respect from the league as we are an elite receiving group.
That's true. I can get with that.
On the as far as special teams, I know that Peppers did play special teams in Cleveland. I think that he may, in fact, be your specialty guy right there. But what my main thing is, though, special teams is going to be a very interesting topic because we're going to have pretty much a brand new special team. We're going to have different jammers, different gunners. It's going to be completely different. But the two guys is Coleman and or Jabril Peppers. The one thing that concerns me with Jabril Peppers is you may do too much and risk the risk of injury. And I don't know if you want to put that guy back there if he is going to be a starter in your secondary and risk that. Maybe you should just focus on, you know, Reggie White Jr. if he makes the team, or Coleman, someone that's not going to be the focal point of the defense. Or, you know, I would not put a starter back there returning punts or kickoffs. That's just my opinion. And I think
you should
take the same approach that we did with Beckham. Is he wanted to do it, but you know what? There's too much risk than reward having your starter, your star player, your core out
right
there. Let it be to a second or a third stringer.
Yeah, I agree with that. I totally agree with that.
And then with Shurmur, you know what? I think someone allowed him to give a press conference. And he basically said some things that were somewhat misleading or could be confused with who the starter is, whether it be one guy or another. But that decision came from above. I don't think that he went out of his way to give a presser. I think that he was told, you need to go out and say a few things from a superior.
Okay. All right.
And
all right.
That was the definition of it. 3-4 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Chandler's still around? Chandler's still on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you want to add to that, whatever Litz said in terms of the special teams and all of these wide receivers that we have? We have six, actually. I say all of these, like as if there's 12 of them. But, you know.
Well, I mean, you know what you have with some of them. You know, the guys have talent, but, you know, you got guys who drop balls. You have guys who can't stay healthy and drop balls. You have guys who just drop balls. And then you got Logan Tate. I'm not quite sure what you're going to have because the quarterback play is going to determine a lot. Can your quarterback play elevate those guys? Listen, there's a reason Corey Coleman keeps bouncing from team to team to team. There's a reason for that. You know, he drops too many damn balls at the worst possible time. He has talent, but there's a reason that, you know, he keeps bouncing around. The special teams thing, listen, I don't like Greg Williams as a human being, but he's a great defensive coach.
Right.
He could not find a way to put Jabril Peppers in a position to be successful defensively. Says a lot to me. That says a lot to me. If the biggest impact Jabril Peppers makes for you is special teams, I don't think that's a good thing, honestly. I don't think that's a good thing. And I think that may be where he makes his biggest impact because he still is just – he's in between everywhere. He's not fast enough for this. He's not big enough for that. You know, he's too strong for this. If his biggest impact for you is special teams, I don't think that's a good thing, personally. You know what I'm saying? I think the way he needs to make an impact is defensively. Well, I mean, obviously special teams help win games and da-da-da-da, but with the way they're kind of devaluing special teams units, with the way they're doing kickoffs and punts and all this stuff, and they're kind of almost phasing that out of the game if you really look at it, where they're making special teams, you know, special teams don't have the impact that they once had in games. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for me, I'm not sure. But wide receiver-wise, it's really going to depend on if these guys can take the next step and stop dropping balls. You know, people can't help getting injured. It is what it is with that. Your body's certain way, your body's certain way. You can't help dropping balls. And you got too many guys who like to drop too many balls.
That's a fact. That's a fact. That's a fact.
I do have a follow-up question for Chandler. I have a follow-up question for Chandler. Same question, but pertaining to your team. What about, you know, educate the, you know, the round table, the Giants fans, as far as the wide receiver core. I know Crowder was a free agent that went to the Redskins. I mean, from the Redskins to the Jets. Robbie Anderson, like, I know, I don't think you were the biggest fan of Robbie Anderson from what I remember. What about your core as far as how do they stack up? As far as on paper in camp right now, and then headed into like a preseason.
I honestly think that the Giants have a better receiving core than the Jets. Robbie Anderson's a clown. Okay, he's a clown, and he's going to screw up again. He's going to do something stupid this season, and you're going to see his name in the paper for the wrong reason because he's a clown. Crowder is a guy who I've never been particularly high on. He either gets injured at the worst time or he drops too many balls. And Nunua is one hit away from his career being over. And honestly, in my eyes, he's the best of the bunch.
Wow.
You know,
Quentin
Nunua is the best of your bunch that you have. Your receiving core ain't that good. And I like Quincy. Quincy has a lot of talent. He has the talent to be a number one receiver, but physically – he keeps getting hurt, and I mean not like minor injuries. It was his neck, man. How many neck injuries can you have in football? How many, you know what I'm saying? You can't have that many neck injuries.
Yeah,
and,
really.
And in the fact that, you know, you got the clown coach, you know, who's coming in with a new offense with this rookie, well, with what, second-year quarterback. I don't have high hopes for this offense, you know. I don't have high hopes for it at all.
Hmm. Wow.
Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
If you're a general, you want a job as a general manager, and you're willing to take the Jets job, it's only for one or two reasons. Either no one else will hire you, and it's the only job you can get, or you're using it as a stepping stone. Either way, you're not going to be there long.
Wow. I don't understand why the Johnson family allowed that to happen, but hey, man. Okay, it is what it is. Azul, I think last year we kept five wide receivers on the roster to begin the season. But I have a feeling, based on how Benny Fowler has stood out in OTAs this entire time, I have a feeling that they're going to keep six. You know, he bounced around, just like Chandler alluded to with the other guy, Fowler. I've seen him on New England. I've seen him on Chicago. I think he was with Denver. I'm not that sure. He's been around a lot, man, but he's looking really good in camp again. And they all look great in camp, but he looks good enough to make the roster. Okay, so if you got him and you don't, and Darius Slayton is looking great, then you're going to have to keep six receivers, man. You just may have to. That's a tough decision. But no matter how you package it, Liv is right, and Chandler's right. Golden Tate is our go-to guy, and he's the one that's going to suggest or be the target for, I'd say a good, let's just be kind of modest and say 50% of everything that goes out there. Okay? Now, Sherman said that Slayton was the most improved player on the roster. Okay? That was like he kept name-dropping him like he's his favorite guy. So I don't know. Coleman and Latimer, they've been doing like number three wide receiver duties at the OTA. Okay? So that I consider them to be they look like they're kind of locks there. I don't know what Sterling Shepard is yet anymore. I'm not talking talent, I'm talking heart. Golden Tate has heart, Shepard doesn't. Well, as far as I can see. So I don't really know what's up. Except I see Golden State as the number one guy, and I see us keeping at least six damn wide receivers on this team. As far as the special team is concerned, man, Jabril Peppers and Bethea are going to be every down guys, man. Okay? So you got to exclude Jabril Peppers from this special teams nonsense. He can't do that, man. You know? And I don't know. Let me see. Who's the other guy? I was looking at Sean Chandler. I was looking at somebody else. Oh, Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas. They'll complete that core up back there. And so that's the end of that. So they're going to have to – I don't know what they're going to do special team-wise. I didn't see anything that, reached out to me and said, oh, wow, this is going to be the right specialist for us on punt returns and this and that. I didn't see any of that stuff, man. I just saw a bunch of people taking turns. That's what I saw. I didn't see any standouts. So I don't know what's going on with that yet. But I know one thing. Peppers and Pathia are going to – they're really going to come off this field, okay, on everything. So that's how that's going to break down. What's your take on everything, Azul?
I just wonder – I don't remember 100%. I thought we cut six receivers. I could be wrong. So if we cut five, I'll take you at the word. Because I thought we kept six, but because I was shocked when we had six receivers on the roster. I could be wrong.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I would have to look that up. I don't remember right offhand. But as of right now, I mean, who's out there right now? I mean, Tate, Shepard, Coleman, Fowler, that's four. Latimer, that's
Slayton,
five.
And you got
one of the Russells.
Yeah, Latimer, yeah. You got them.
There's a lot of receivers, man. I don't know. You know what? Because it's a numbers game when you talk 53-man roster. So I don't know if they're going to keep – I think they would keep five. But if they keep six, would they not try to keep that extra quarterback? Because although I'm not a fan of that, would they want to keep the extra third quarterback? Well, I mean, that's tougher maybe about a month or more.
I understand.
But I'm just thinking,
but if they're going to keep five wide receivers, they've got to get rid of Coleman. I'm just putting it out there. He was the one who looked the shittiest, if I can say that.
Who? Corey Coleman? No, they're gonna have to keep him because they're gonna need. They got like Litt said. They need somebody out there on special teams. There's no way around it. I mean,
to your point, consider that. Yeah. Okay. I got.
Yeah,
you.
He's kind of penciled in unless there's somebody comes out of the blue and wilds people like. And then if you look at what was I saying? The wide receiver. I thought Fowler did later in the year. I know we didn't really have nothing much to play for, but I thought Fowler was good. He was the good possession receiver that Corey Latimer was not. I thought Corey Latimer coming
over
from the Broncos.
And he looked good on special teams at the end of the year, too, Steve. He looked good on special teams at the end of the year, Fowler did. At the end of the year, the last two or three games. But yes, his impact would be enormous. So, yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. We don't know what we're going to do.
I don't think this unit is gonna. If you put man coverage, depending on the cornerbacks. Like I think the Eagles got terrible cornerbacks, so I'm not worried about them. But let's say Dallas. Dallas got some decent cornerbacks. And then the Redskins, you know, it's hit or miss. One of them, was it Breland? I think he's no longer there. But Norman, not really the best of cornerbacks. So I don't even really worry about the NFC other than the Cowboys when it comes to cornerback. But I'm talking about press man type of coverage cornerbacks. You know, if the Giant players, if the Giant wide receivers could win one-on-one battles at the line of scrimmage, and especially Sterling Shepard, because you asked what is Sterling Shepard? Sterling Shepard is a decent slot receiver. He's had his issues with dropping the balls over the years since his rookie year. But he's going to have to step up. I mean, let's give him – oh, I hate to say it like this, but all – you know, the general manager, the stakeholders, and Giant fans don't like right now. He's the one who gave him an extension. He gave him an extension for a reason.
And that was
a Jerry Reese draft pick. So they probably see something in him, and they need it. They need his value. Maybe he grows without Odell Beckham Jr. Does he sustain or did the stats go up? I don't know, maybe he could be somewhat of, I would say, a difference maker, but somewhat of a factor to help sustain drives. You know, a Sterling Shepard, if he can hold on to the ball, if he can catch passes, those 7 to 8 intermediate crossing routes. I don't see him on the, you know, post or corner routes to be that a threat. But, you know, if you have a guy like Golden Tate, who's probably best on curl routes, 8-10 comeback routes, catches the ball, moves the sticks, that kind of thing. And if you get some other production from whatever, you know, from the tight end, Evan Engram, you know, stretch the field, because he's probably more of a vertical threat than any of the wide receivers that we got, you know, maybe we could kind of open up some room for the running game with Barkley and keep an extra guy out of the box. So this is really going to come down to these Giant wide receivers needing to hold on to the ball when they make catches, because like Chandler said, Corey Coleman has been known for drops. You know, the Browns, the Buffalo Bills for the short stint there. He's going to have to – everybody actually on this roster is going to have to do their job. Hell, even Russell Shepard, a guy that came over from Carolina, Gettleman's guy. Mm-hmm. He had a couple of catches and he had a couple of crucial drops last year. So this is really more about this is more of a ball possession. I don't see this team is going to wow, or you know. Then we have the quarterback who's going to throw him the ball, which either quarterback on this roster can't really throw an accurate deep ball. From that includes Jones, you know. I mean, I
by the way, he looked. By the way,
accurate.
He looked good today.
So
he looked.
So you
can
really
today.
Game plan against the Giant wide receivers. You press up on them and try to play that one-on-one. And that, the other defenses that's going to be roaming back there, they're going to have their chances to, you know, lick their chops, send an extra man, blitz. Could the Giant wide receivers pick up on the hot read lit? I want to go back to you on that. What about picking up on blitzes and hot reads and stuff like that? Do you think the Giant wide receiver core is going to be mature enough to do that, be on the same page with the quarterback?
Hey, Steve, that's a great question. But real quick, with before I answer that, I'd like to ask you and Chris, with the 6 possible wide receivers we are possibly going to carry, and if Chandler's still around, if he can answer this question too, and I know he's a Jets fan, but do they intimidate you? Let's just say they carry 6 with the names that you dropped. Do they seem intimidating? Not to me. Just curious, what you think? Intimidating receivers if they go 6.
I don't think it would really make a difference as long as our quarterback is able to maintain a decent drive with these guys. I don't think we even notice it. I really don't. I really don't.
Okay.
I don't think I think they have to do the right thing and understand what the schemes are, what the plays are, everything. If we sustain really wonderful drives, it's not going to make a difference. It really won't.
Gotcha. So to answer Steve's question, as far as our wide receivers, acting as blockers, I did, you know, watch Sterling Shepard a lot last year, and out of probably, let's just say, 5 we carry, he's the best with his hands, to block downfield or block off the line, do a crack back or something like that. Funny thing is, and I will say this, kind of off subject, but part of the subject, Sterling Shepard, I think, is probably the best crack backer we have. He almost reminds me of Larry Fitzgerald when he sets a crack back block. I really like that. That's one thing that I've noticed about him, and I think he's really excelled well at his blocking skills. I don't really know about the other cast of characters, but I think if they are able to keep their hands up and moving without getting a hold call, we'd be okay on that. But I think Sterling Shepard probably is our best in the receiving core that knows how to block with his hands.
Okay. All right. Okay, cool. Chandler still here?
Yeah. I don't think the word intimidate is the right word to use. I think that Golden Tate is a guy that other teams will take notice of and have a scheme for. I don't think they do that for the other guys, except maybe Coleman because he is fast, but he does like to drop the ball. But I do think that you have him and Ingram are two guys that the other teams will say, okay, we're not going to let them beat us. Because Ingram can have one of those games, man, where he catches 6, 7, 8 balls, goes for a 122 touchdowns. He has that type of talent to do that, you know. And Golden Tate, and everybody thinks all he does is run the curls and the seams and the comebacks. Golden Tate can go down the sideline. Watch a lot of Seahawks games where Russell Wilson ran around back there and Golden Tate wound up going down the sideline on catching deep balls and getting behind the defensive backs because they kind of forgot about it. You know, so I think that Golden Tate is a guy that teams are going to say, okay, we're not going to let this guy beat us. Make sure you know where he is. And I think that Ingram is that as well. So I don't know if intimidate is the right word, but respect, I think, is a better word. They will respect those two guys.
They will. And when you carry that many receivers, like I'm predicting they will, there's always – it may be Coleman. It just may be Coleman. There's always that third receiver that's going to give you a mega headache. Okay, in certain situations against certain teams, in certain moments. And that, and that's besides the status quo too. That you know, the Shepherd and Tate. So, hey, yeah, you're right. We'll get the respect that's demanded of us because I think, you know, the thing that we're not looking at, that's not part of that question, is leadership ability. Who's for instance the receiver core. I think Golden Tate's been around long enough that he'll demand the respect of the other receivers, and they'll look up to him, and they'll hear exactly what he's trying to say, what he's trying to initiate, what his scouting prowess consists of as a receiver, being that he's played against the entire division more than one or two times, and he knows, you know, currently the Philadelphia team pretty well. So we'll see. You know, I think we'll be better than advertised. What about you, Russell?
To go back to Lynch's question, the word intimidate, the answer for me is definitely no. The Giant wide receivers are not going to intimidate anybody as far as on the opposing team's defenses. But I agree with Chandler. The word respect even with Shepard when it comes to working in between the hashes, because I think he's a pretty good a slot receiver who could sneakily get behind your strong and free safeties if you don't pay attention to him, because he has that ability to get behind the defense if the people, you know, like the strong safeties jump up in the, too deep into the box, if the free safety is cheating over, if they're playing a cover two, if the safety is not paying attention to the other safety on the other side of the field. Shepard has that sneaky kind of ability to get behind a secondary if the quarterback can find them. Now, to go back to Chandler's point about Tate running the deep routes, I agree with that, but here's the thing about that situation in Seattle, and I think we all can agree with this, because they had Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is pretty much Fran Tarkenton back there. You know, he can roll around, scramble for like at least 10 seconds. We ain't got that. Let's be put that on the table. I know Daniel Jones is fast, and then that's if he gets reps. Let's say week 7, week 8, if the Giants aren't doing well, you know he's not doing that like what Russell Wilson is doing, and he buys a lot of time. Now I'll give the Giants offensive line credit. I think pass blocking are better at that on paper than being a run blocking team. They got to get rid of the ball quick though, because I don't think Nate Solder is the type of left tackle is gonna. He pretty much got exposed with that contract, because the Patriots are, you know, as Chandler would know as a Jets fan, they're about quick passes to those small receivers and hitting Gronkowski for a big play. But Solder didn't have to sustain a long time block with the Josh McDaniels offense. If you're going to play this Pat Shurmur offense, you're not going to get rid of the ball that quick. You're going to kind of have to hold on to the ball. You're going to have to do some rollouts. And could take advantage of that in the Pat Shurmur offense that he probably didn't see, as well as what, in Detroit, in that little short stint in Detroit, Seattle, and then that, half a year in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Probably not. I don't know. But as far as intimidation, nah, I don't see it, man. I don't see the teams fearing the Giants like they would like 2-3 years ago when they had a quality on paper. You had Beckham Jr., who's the yards after the catch monster from like 3 years ago when he came up that one big year. That was actually the 11-5 year down. I'm thinking about that was 16. So yeah. I got another question for all you guys. And if you want to bring up the Giants wide receivers, the Jets wide receivers, that's cool. I got another question. This kind of leads into what we're going to be discussing over the next month before we hit preseason. And we're going to go through all the divisions, AFC, all the divisions in the AFC and NFC, like who's looking good, who's not looking good each week. But I wanted to focus on the Ravens, even on this episode, because I think they had they're a real interesting team on paper because of the overhaul they had. Talking to a couple of Ravens fans over the last couple of weeks, and I like to talk all teams, not just our team or the Jets, but all the squads. And I have wanted to get you guys' thoughts on any sleeper team around the NFL that, that's probably the question of the week, the sleeper team. But I wanted to also, if you have any thoughts on the Baltimore Ravens on how they lost in the first round versus the Chargers with Lamar Jackson, how they're going to take the next step. And they made some huge changes. So definition of lit. Oh, actually, Chris, we'll start with you and then go to definition. Chris, if you have
I got to admit, Steve, I'm ignorant here. I haven't really studied the Ravens. But I did see that game. And I do. My recollection of that particular game against the Chargers was it seemed to me like Lamar Jackson, the lights were too bright for him. It felt. And I was one of those. Yes, I was. I was one of those NFL fans that was yelling for Flacco, okay, because it just looked horrible, mostly the second quarter. It just looked ridiculously daunting. But I had a rooting interest in the Raiders, the Chargers at the same time. So I'm not really qualified to answer that, bro, because I haven't done my homework, and I'm going to be the first to tell you that. But I know one thing. One of the things that the Ravens do on a consistent annual basis is come out prepared every year, even when they're missing three or four starters on defense, even then. So that's the way Harbaugh has them charged. And bruh, I promise, sir, like my students used to tell me, I promise I'll have my paper ready next week.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Then we go to lit. Is there a team out there that you is a sleeper from right now? I mean, you don't have to study. I'm just going off with your sports knowledge. Is there a sleeper right now on paper? I know it's really early to discuss that, but what's your thought?
I would say to me, I don't know if you could actually call them sleepers anymore. But actually, maybe you can. I'm not sure. I think the 49ers are still – what we saw last year at the beginning of the season. No, let's just take it back. When they beat us, when we were there. I wasn't there. You were there, actually. When they beat us and they broke their losing streak. From there on, there seemed to be a fire in that team. Okay, it seemed to be they made their position known that they weren't going to sit there anymore and be anyone's patsy. And after they started off 0-8, I think it was. I think it was 0-8. And after that, they caught fire. Right now, they're getting ready to enter year three of this Shanahan-Lynch experiment. And I understand those two guys are seeing eye to eye a lot. And I think that 4-12 season last year was an aberration. I think with Garoppolo coming back, they got Bosa with the number two pick in the draft. They probably lost their tight end, Selleck. I think you're going to see them really, really compete, man. Really, really compete. They got some guys on that team like Bethard and Marquise Goodwin and Trent Taylor and people like that that make them strong enough and willing enough and formidable enough in that particular division to make some noise. They can possibly, you know, threaten and for a playoff spot as late as the 13th week. So I'm looking at the 49ers as being that team that everybody's kind of sleeping on a little bit, but is probably going to wake up and say, okay, all right. They need to be as respected a little bit more. I see them having probably splitting wins against Seattle, maybe even the Rams, and just doing some damage, man. They got a guy there called Elijah Lee. You'll see him a lot. You'll see Malcolm Smith with the linebacker core with Alexander. I think they are really going to be that team that is probably going to upset a lot of people, and that's just me. I'm looking at the 49ers to be that team, Steve.
All right. Any additional questions for our squad or even Dan Green? And, of course, my question, do you have a sleeper team that nobody's discussing? If you have any opinion on the Baltimore Ravens, and then we'll get that same thoughts from Chandler, and then we'll go around for final thoughts after that.
Well, I can, you know what? Chris just took my thunder. My sleeper team is the 49ers. Next week is coming. Dude, I'm telling you right now, look. David Mayo, Tevin Campbell, Quan Alexander.
I mean, Ford.
I mean, with Garoppolo coming back, this is going to be the redemption year for them. And if you're going to go sleeper with what they have and the pieces that they have, they're kind of in the same situation as the Giants right now, trying to find themselves. But as far as my sleeper team, not my favorite team, I'm a Giants fan. But my sleeper team is going to be the San Francisco 49ers. They made some really, really, really good, strong off-season moves. They put themselves into a situation where they didn't overextend and overpay. I'm looking at it right now, a lot of one-year, two-year deals. The most that they did was Quan Alexander for a four-year deal, a couple trades. They released some that just didn't fit the mold. But, Steve, Chris, that's my sleeper team this year.
49ers are going to be something else. Steve, you wasn't expecting that, man, or what?
No. I mean, I think that's a solid one. Let's get Chandler's thoughts. Chandler, your sleeper team, and also if you have any opinion on the Baltimore Ravens, because I think it was an interesting topic I had with friends as far as, you know, Raven fans on their squad, you know, talking all 32 squads. What's your thoughts? And then we'll go on.
I don't like Greg Roman. Let me start with that. I don't like Greg Roman. Greg Roman gets a lot of credit for stuff that really he had nothing to do with. That offense in San Francisco, that was Jim Harbaugh's offense. That was Jim Harbaugh's offense. That wasn't Greg Roman. He gets a lot of credit for that. I don't think he's a good offensive coordinator. I think that the Ravens are trying to do something with Lamar, which is they're trying to put weapons around him. And in that playoff game, if you noticed, yeah, he looked bad because they kept running the same thing for three quarters. In the fourth quarter, when they actually let him throw the ball down the field, they almost won the game. Lamar Jackson can throw the ball. There's this presumption that he can't. He can throw the ball. He can be accurate. He just needs to be more accurate in the NFL. I think Lamar is going to take a step forward because of the talent around him. I don't think he'll take the step he should take because of Greg Roman. I'm actually worried about that because I don't like Greg Roman. But I think Lamar is going to show a lot of people that, you know what, he can be a pocket quarterback. That it's, you know, but the thing that bothered me the most was when he said he didn't realize they were going to change the offense, which says to me there was a lack of communication. Because, Greg, when you bring it – now, at the end of the season, John Harbaugh said, we're not going to change anything. We're just going to build on what we have. Now it's, we got a whole new offense. Okay, pick one. You can't have a whole new offense if you're building on what you already have. Those two right. statements don't even coexist in the same reality. So I'm worried about what's going to happen with Lamar, with Greg Roman. Because like I said, I don't trust Greg Roman with a young quarterback. Never have. My sleeper team is actually the Dolphins. Because Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to give you four games where he looks like the greatest quarterback in the history of civilization. He's going to give you four games. Okay? It's going to be four games, man. He's going to throw for 400 yards, 17 touchdowns, all of that. And then he's going to follow that up with three games where he throws 55 interceptions.
Like he did against
Josh Rosen. Yes, yes. If Josh Rosen, while Fitzpatrick is having those four games, can get up to speed on that offense, I think Miami makes the playoffs.
Hmm. Hmm. All right. Well, wow. Wow. Okay. Wait. About Miami. How good do you think it's going to be? His name escapes me right now. The new head coach. How do you think he'll fare?
I think he's going to do well. I mean, he's from Brooklyn, first of all, so, you know, I'm rooting
That's
for him.
That's right.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. He's from Brooklyn. Yeah. Woo-hoo. But I think he's going to do well. I think he's going to be one of the first coaches that leaves Belichick and is actually successful, because he was the one guy that nobody ever talked about as the next hot thing. He just slowly worked his way up and got his opportunity. So I think he's the guy that breaks the mold and is actually successful. And if you look at the players he's bringing in, if you look at what he's trying to put in, the culture he's trying to put in, it's not Patriot South. It's Miami Dolphins. So, you know what I'm saying? So I like what he's doing. I think he's going to be successful. I think he'll be there for the next 10 years.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. What do you think, Azul?
It's hard to go against that 49ers pick. That's an excellent team to put in that sleeper category. If I had to pick a team behind them as a sleeper, and I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs, and I'm not going to say they're going to go 8-8, but I think they're going to make a lot of teams sweat. I think the Arizona Cardinals, I know they are terrible last year. I know they were terrible. The offensive line was in shambles. It is probably still a work in progress for the next 3 to 4 years, but I really like Kyler Murray, and this is where watching college football comes into play, because if you were just watching him, you know the kid could play. I think their defense is a very decent veteran defense. I know we talk about Bethea coming to the Giants, but Suggs is he's going to the Hall of Fame. I mean, Terrell Suggs being on that team.
Oh, easily.
And then,
yeah.
And if it makes the roster, and then you add in, like, Super Bowl winners like Jordan Hicks from the Eagles. Corey Peters from the Falcons is going to clog up the middle. I think they're in the 3-4. Don't quote me on that. So I would assume if Corey Peters is there, they got to be in the 3-4. And then, you know, what really hurts is, you know, Patrick Peterson out for all those games. So, you know, that probably takes away from it. But when he's there and you add in Byron Murphy, I know some people don't like Byron Murphy. I think he's a decent player. I watched him at Washington. I think he's solid. They're going to make teams sweat, I think. I'm not saying they're going to win a lot of games, but I think they'll be interesting to watch in it, because I think Kyler Murray's that fun of a player. How you deal with him, because he's got a strong arm for a guy that size, man. I really like his game. And then you add in, like, Charles Clay, who came over, you know, from the Buffalo Bills. He's a decent tight end, pass-catching guy. And then, the wide receiver from Iowa State that they drafted, Butler. I think they'll be all right, man. I think they'll not sleeper as far as make the playoffs, but sleeper as far as they'll give competitive games and make it fun. But I'm actually with Lit with the 49ers. I think that's an excellent team to pick as far as that. Let's get some final thoughts. Definition of Lit, final thoughts, then Chandler, Chris, and myself.
With just another few more weeks for training camp, preseason, let those tailgates flow. Going to go to 5 games this year, get to see all my friends. I'm just getting ready to start it, you know. Kind of like getting out of the shell, you know, football is just right around the corner. Unfortunately, here in Arizona, it's 112 right now. It doesn't feel like it's, you know, getting that time. But we'll get there soon. We'll get things popping. We'll have fun. We'll have the camaraderie. We'll keep the Bleed Blue show going week after week after week. And just rock out.
That's the definition right there.
Definition of Lit.
The definition of Lit. Chandler, sir.
I think it's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting season. I hate Adam Gase and Joe Douglas, and I can't wait to see Greg Williams and Joe Vitt come to blows on the sideline. I think it's going to be fun.
Where's Todd Bowles? Where's he at right now?
Arizona, I believe.
Hence.
No, wait. Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay? Wow. Okay. We forced to play them this year. Right. Okay. Wow. All right. I don't have much to say, man. This is a good episode again. Great dialogue again. All I have to say is that Saquon Barkley will lead the league in rushing. And Evan Engram will make his first Pro Bowl. And Marcus Golden will have double-digit sack year. That's all I got to say. And let me tell you, I don't even think he'll play in most of the defensive snaps. As, like, you know, Betcher likes to rotate, but he's still going to bomb out. I think that Golden has that extra gear that we need on defense. And nobody's not really mentioning that. They're acknowledging that he's looking good in camp and so on and so forth. But I think this guy is ready to have one of these breakout seasons that we're not. One of those unexpected seasons that we haven't had in a long time from that particular core. And I'm talking years, maybe Antonio Pierce type of years. So we'll see what happens. You know, I just wanted to mention that. And I same thing for that kid O'Shane too, on the depth chart. Just hold on. I think we're gonna see some really good surprises. The worst we're looking at to me is an 8-8 year. I just want to get that out of the way. Even though there's a lot more shows to come, there's a lot of summer, and there's gonna be a lot of there's training camp to come and all of that kind of stuff, preseason. But this is how optimistic I am for us this year. With this new crew, and I'm just getting rid of all the minutia of, you know, what about Dexter? I don't want to hear that. I'm just looking at the team at this point. Azul, take us home, man.
Yeah, shout out to Definition of Lit, Chandler, Chris, myself. In a couple of weeks, we'll get into all the other divisions for the month of July, the other divisions, and get our thoughts as far as who's going to come out, because when preseason hits in August, we'll focus 100% on our Giants, to get a little bit of the Jets, and then all the other games that happen in the preseason in August. But a good episode. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. I have nothing else to add. Sangre Azul, Lee Blue.
Can you dig
go
it?
Toronto!
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep.